Time to talk skin now with Dr. Ritu Gupta. And today we're kicking things off with home gadgets. There seems to be a lot out there. Light therapy masks, microcurrent facial toners, microneedling. But are they any good? Do you actually use them? You tell me. But let's actually find out. You might have a question about these. 1300 222 702 is the number. It doesn't just have to be gadget related, but Dr. Ritu Gupta can usually answer any questions you've got about any skin questions. And it's a very good afternoon to you, Ritu. It's been a while.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not at all. Look, can we begin with home laser? You know, on our skin, we've got pink spots, red spots, sunspots, brown spots. You know, what is out there and what is targeting what and what's working?
Well, look, I'm sorry to say, but if I can just be blunt, at-home gadgets, by and large, don't do anything.
Okay.
So what I would say is we have a really good and strong therapeutic goods administration here in Australia, and it exists to protect the consumer. So if something is actually strong and is going to have a good biological effect, you can't buy it. The consumer cannot buy it. It is a medical device and it can only be sold to a medical practice. So that really is the short answer. I can't speak for things that people perhaps, you know, get via the internet. Mm. But in terms of devices that are available for purchase, really the amount of improvement that you can expect to get is pretty minimal. I'm not saying it's nothing, but mm-hmm. it's pretty minimal compared to, you know, a grade 4 medical laser, mm. you know, that's $250,000 and can only be sold to a medical practice, mm. obviously.
Can some of these things online, and maybe you've seen some people come across your rooms, can they be dangerous? Can they damage your skin?
Yeah, of course. And that's why the TGA is strict about them because, you know, lasers are extremely powerful. A laser basically is a single color focus beam. So if you think of a laser pointer, that's probably the easiest thing. A laser can be extremely powerful. I mean, lasers are used in cataract surgery, for instance, so they can cut the skin, they can cut the lens. So if you've got lasers being sold willy-nilly to people to be used at home, I mean, one can't imagine the damage they can do. They can burn, they can cause laser eye injury, so mm. burns to the eyes. So when we use lasers in my practice, for instance, I'm a dermatologist, obviously, but it's a controlled environment. We have appropriate signage, we have laser eyewear, lead eye shields for the patients. These are devices that need to be treated with great respect. They're mm. fantastic mm. when used. I mean, the best device is the one where the operator behind the device has the most knowledge yeah. or the person who's trained the operator.
In saying that, though, are there some dermatologists who can get it wrong? Can it go pear-shaped when it's actually you're being lasered by a professional?
Oh, look, of course, I'm not saying that specialists are infallible. Of course, we're not infallible. But what I would hope is that when you're in the hands of a specialist or in a specialist practice where the specialist trained staff are treating you, mm. they've treated the staff, they will, adverse events are much less likely. And if they occur, the specialist knows how to manage them and they can manage them because they can write the appropriate scripts, they know what to do, and they will take ownership of that problem if mm-hmm. it occurs.
Mm-hmm. What about microneedling? I don't really even know what that is, but some yeah. people do it at home. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so microneedling is basically, well, it's kind of how it sounds. It's creating tiny little micro needles, injury to the skin with that can go to various steps, like, you know, again, stronger microneedling can go all the way down to 5 millimeters depth into the skin, which is reasonably deep, particularly in certain areas like around the eyes. You know, the skin's not even, is only just 5 millimeters thick. And basically the premise is that it's a controlled form of injury that will cause collagen remodeling. But microneedling, by and large, again, it is regulated. So in non-medical hands, usually the depth that is allowed to be used is much less. Microneedling, when it's combined with other energies, things like radio frequency, which is a heat-based energy, can be much more effective. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I think the first thing is to know what's the end goal? What's the diagnosis? And what is the person hoping to achieve?
Youthful
and then
match looking it up. Skin.
Light, bright, clear, beautiful skin. That's it. Everyone wants that.
Now, Leanne has called in with a question regarding the masks. Hi, Leanne.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello. What's your question?
Hi.
Regarding, you know, the red light full facial mask, I've seen that for sale somewhere recently. It says you can do red light or blue light or yellow light, I think.
Yes.
Are they, you know, they're about $600 or something.
Yeah. Look, you know, red light has mild anti-inflammatory effects. So, but again, the power of these devices is very low. So is it worth the money? I would say not. In terms of blue light for acne, look, it can have a mild effect on the Cutibacterium acnes bacteria, but again, it can be turbocharged if you're being treated, you know, appropriately and medically. And sometimes for these things, you know, it's a simple prescription. Mm. It costs $50 that's actually scientifically proven, rather than going and spending money on this light and using it. The other thing I'll say about red light, particularly for people with skin of color like me, red light can really cause increased pigmentation. Mm. So people might be using it thinking it's doing something good for them, but it's actually causing more pigmentation. And if they've got a hormonal type of pigmentation, which is called melasma, which is quite common, then again, the home LED or any LED, in fact, can make it worse. So the first thing is really knowing what the issue is and then looking at options.
Hope that gives you some sort of power to make your decision there, Leanne.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Rita, you touched on a point there. You mentioned acne. There's a text in from one of my listeners here. Would love some advice on how to help my 10-year-old boy with a good regime as he's starting to get little pimples.
No. Look, 10 is on the young side. So one thing I will say is it does tend to be a predictor for worse acne to come because 10 is really pre-adolescent. So I would be keeping a very close eye on things. The main thing in terms of skincare, just to make sure that everything is oil-free or non-comedogenic. They're the buzzwords you look for. And quite frankly, most things contain oil, particularly sunscreens, because oil gives things its staying power, its sticking power. Mm. Now, if you look, you can find oil-free sunscreens. There's plenty of inexpensive ones that you can get in the chemist. The other thing I would say is acne is not about being dirty, and that's a common thing. Particularly mums might think that with their sons. Now, I'm not saying many sons are dirty, sure, but it's not about being dirty. So what we don't want to do is be over scrubbing the skin, exfoliating the skin, because all that's doing is traumatizing the skin and damaging the skin barrier. If things are getting worse, then the best thing is to go and see your GP because, again, very tried and tested, inexpensive prescription treatments can really help.
I'll just pause the conversation here for a moment, Ritu, if you can just stand by for me. So I want to bring you, the listeners, up to date with these two fires that are currently burning. The latest information on those is that we have two fires across the state that have gone to watch and act warnings in the past hour. Firstly, on the mid-north coast in Stroud, there is a watch and act warning to prepare now. There's a fire burning in the vicinity of St. Clair's Road between the Buckets Way and Mill Creek Road, 2.5 kilometres northwest of Stroud, and that is in the mid-coast local government area. The fire there is burning in an easterly direction under westerly winds towards Mill Creek Road. An easterly wind change is forecast within the hour. So that is the information surrounding that fire that's at a watch and act level at Stroud on the mid-north coast. The second watch and act to prepare now is for Home Hills Road fire near Bogie in the central west region burning near the Kapiti National Park north of Lithgow. Now the fire there is burning in an easterly direction under westerly winds. Those in the vicinity of Home Home Hills Road need to prepare now. So just repeating that the RFS has issued two Watch and Act warnings to prepare now, one for Stroud, that's west of Bulladela, and one for Bogey, and that is north of Lithgow. We will be joined by the Rural Fire Service in the next 15 minutes or so to get the very latest on those two fires. But if you want more information, check the Hazards Near Me app, or you can always visit the Rural Fire Service website. Continue listening to ABC Local Radio. We will keep you up to date on whenever anything changes, and I will have another update on this in half an hour. And as I said, we are trying to track down the RFS on that. You are listening to 702 ABC Afternoons, where it's just coming up to 18 minutes past two. I am speaking to Dr. Ritu Gupta, who is a dermatologist who is taking your questions on all things skin. Ritu, thank you for just pausing that conversation there. Obviously, pleasure. Some serious weather that's going on in the state. Just with respect to what we've been talking about at-home devices, whether it's needling or laser, it sounds like you're coming from a viewpoint where perhaps it's not worth the money. We know a lot of these things can be expensive, but what is it? It's the idea that whether it be laser, whether it be microneedling, you cause some sort of damage to your skin, some sort of trauma, rather, to the skin, so it promotes collagen, so it promotes blood. Is that the way it sort of works?
Yeah, look, I think in broad brushstrokes, that's quite a good way to think about it. Basically, these are all grouped into a sort of category called energy-based devices. So energy-based devices include lasers, which, can, as I said, single focused, can be extremely powerful. Lasers can treat reds, so broken capillaries, pigmentation, hair, tattoos. They can treat texture, so pores, prominent pores, scars, surgical scars, acne scars, traumatic scars, wrinkles. Lasers can treat lumps and bumps, so nuisance moles. Then there's intense pulse light, or IPL. People may have heard of that. Mm-hmm. That's a sort of laser-like device. It's a broad range of wavelengths. So laser is a single wavelength, and IPL is a broad range of wavelength. And all of these devices vary vastly in terms of their power, in terms of their tunability, so their ability to be tailored to the person, and their usability, I suppose. Then there are things like ultrasound. You might have heard of HIFU, which is high-intensity focused ultrasound for skin tightening. There's microneedling, which we've talked about, and there's a whole plethora of other things. There's microwave technology. For instance, we have a device that uses microwave technology to permanently treat excess sweating under the arms, which can be very debilitating for people, really life-changing for people. There is something using cold, so what's called cryolipolysis, so basically freezing fat cells, so sucking them into a cup and freezing them at a temperature where the fat cells undergo what's called apoptosis, or programmed cell death. There is heat. It's very broad. So it's really hard, I think, for the person or the patient or the consumer to say, oh, I want to have this device. I think it's more about being assessed and knowing what you want to achieve, you know, because there's no point someone saying to you, oh, look, yes, we can do this for your wrinkles around your eyes, when they always wear glasses and they say, I don't care about the wrinkles around my eyes because I can't even see them. You know, so I always say to patients, I give them the mirror and I say, look, it's not about what I see. It's about what you see and what you want to improve. And of course, it's often best to be conservative and just take a gentle approach, because at the end of the day, people just want to look like a good version of themselves, just clean and refreshed, you know. I mean, I don't have many people who come in, say, with photographs. I think this happens to the plastic surgeons, actually, where people come in with, you know, a photograph of Dakota Johnson or whatever and say, hey, I want to look like this. So luckily in dermatology we don't get that, because I would be running a mile. But yeah, hopefully that kind of sort of explains, but there are a lot of things out there.
Well, Kate has called in. You've tried a few of these, have you, Kate?
Devices, yes. And I can say unequivocally, they do not work. Mm. I spent a fortune on this radio frequency device from Germany that was recommended, actually, by a beautician. And I stuck to it religiously, used the expensive product. It did make no difference whatsoever. And the same thing with the microdermabrasion device, too.
Yes.
It might have been a little bit better, but... just to make the skin very sore. So I wasn't terribly impressed with either.
Yeah, and that's because of safety, basically. So, you know, we don't want these very strong devices being out there in the community, being used by people in their home when they don't know they don't know how to use them, they don't know what they're doing, they don't have the appropriate protection. So, as I said at the beginning, basically the stuff that you can buy is not going to be very strong.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah, thanks, Kate. I'm sorry you've had that experience, but it sort of speaks to what we're talking about. All the best.
Yes, don't waste your money, peeps.
Thank you, Kate.
Okay.
Thank you. There's a little bit, Ritu, on the text line here about back acne treatment. Do you have any tips or tricks?
Well, back acne treatment is just the same as facial acne treatment. The first thing, as always, is diagnosis. So what someone might be thinking is acne could well be something called folliculitis, which is very common, particularly in the warmer weather.
You can get that from a spa, can't you, folliculitis?
You can. Mm. Yeah, you can. That's often an unusual form of folliculitis. Most folliculitis is bacterial in nature because basically we all have bugs that live on our skin. Mm. Normally everything's happy. We live in harmony, bacteria, fungi, yeast. Where the little microscopic hairs come out is a natural break in the skin. So if people are doing a lot of exfoliating, if they're hanging around in their lycra, if the weather's really warm or if they're very sweaty people, if they suffer from something called, as I said, hyperhidrosis, then they're more prone to getting folliculitis. If they're diabetic, so they're more prone to infection. So first thing is it actually acne? Now, if it is acne, then acne on the back is treated in just the same way as the face, except that it's pointless really to be using creams and what are called topical treatments because it's too big a surface area. So no one's got the time or, you know, can reach their back. So acne on the back needs oral therapy, so tablets. So again, you know, first put a call GP or dermatologist and we can absolutely treat that very well. If it's folliculitis, again, that and it's all over the back, again, topical treatments on the surface because we're talking about a big surface area are not going to be that helpful. So the first thing is recognizing what it is, stopping whatever the trigger is, you know, if it's folliculitis, and then and treating it.
Well, speaking of hyperhidrosis, Janet has called in. Hi, Janet.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. You've got a question for Ritu?
I did. I actually just caught the tail end of what Rita said, and I was wondering if she would please repeat it. I have hyperhidrosis, and I also had a thoracic symphysectomy left and right.
How long ago was that?
It didn't work on one side. About 12 years ago.
Yeah. So that's usually the end of the line treatment for hyperhidrosis.
It was very severe. Yeah.
Yeah. So often the issue with a thoracic sympathectomy, and just for your listeners, what that is basically cutting the nerve that supplies the sweat gland. And it's usually only used when everything else has been tried and failed. The issue can be that you get what's called compensatory hyperhidrosis elsewhere. So you stop sweating in that area, but you start sweating somewhere else. which is a pain to say the least. We do have microwave technology, which can be used for underarm sweating. It's not good for sweating elsewhere, but it's very good for excess sweating under the arms or excess odour and excess hair. Also, if people have excess sweating, you know, what's called generalised all over their body, then again, that's really medical therapy with tablets. But it's not a cure because when you stop the tablet, the sweating does come back. But it's really about finding the lowest dose that controls the symptoms.
Right. Okay. Well, that's really helpful to know about the underarm because it didn't work on one side. So we'll see. Thank you.
Things probably have moved on, you know, because all of these fields are very fast-moving fields. So don't give up thinking that, oh, look, you know, there was nothing 12 years ago. Because I must say, some of the lasers that I have in my practice, they didn't exist 12 years ago. So it's a really fast-moving field.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All the best, Janet. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. You are listening
to 702 ABC Sydney Afternoons. Just giving you an update, we'll have a news update with Adam Storey at about 2:30. And then after that, we're going to be joined by the Rural Fire Service. Greg Allen will be giving us the latest on those two fires that we are keeping an eye on for you. But in the last couple of minutes that we've got here, Ritu, this question here from one of my listeners here. How does nutrition help clear up the skin? I just might interrupt there very briefly because we have had a change in the fire situation. There, one of these fires has gone to an emergency warning. That is for a leave now for Bogie North of Lithgow. I'm just bringing up the Rural Fire Service website now. We will be joined in a moment by the Rural Fire Service. But just repeating there that bogie fire north of Lithgow has just escalated to an emergency warning. So that is if you're in the area of Home Hills Road between Kapiti River and Marsden Road, you are in danger. You need to leave now in a northerly direction along Home Hills Road. If the path is clear towards Ryleston, do not delay. Act now. Conditions may get worse quickly. So again, that fire at Bogie, north of Lithgow, has just been escalated to an emergency warning. If you're in the area of Holmes Hill Road between Kapiti River and Marsden Road, you're in danger. Leave now in a northerly direction along Holmes Hill Road, only if the path is clear towards Ryleston. Do not delay. Act now. We will be joined by the Rural Fire Service in the next couple of minutes on that. But just rounding out, Ritu, before we get to the news headlines, nutrition is often a question that comes up and its impact on skin. Can it help clear up skin, blackheads, acne?
Well, it's a good question. For years, we thought that, you know, when patients said that, oh, I've eaten too much chocolate and that's why I'm breaking out, we thought, oh, well, there's no really medical basis for that. But what we know is that if you have a diet that's really a high GI diet, high glycemic index, so high in all the white carbs and all the yummy stuff, that's not great for your skin. We also know that if this is in particular for acne, if you have a diet that it's really high milk, and I will stress that particularly females, it's really important to have milk for our bones. But if we're talking, say, more than two cups of milk equivalent a day, then that can stimulate something called insulin-like growth factor 1, and that can make acne a bit worse. But by and large, the role of diet in the skin is not that great. People want it to be about diet. I understand that because, you know, it's something that we can control. There are some anti-inflammatory things that, you know, we can have, things like blueberries and fish and nuts. They're good for our general health. But do they have a major impact on skin and skin health? I think more studies are needed. I don't really think that the studies thus far show that.
All right. Really interesting to chat with you today. I think you've been really helpful for our listeners and explaining as well those home devices that maybe it's better spending your money elsewhere. But for now, Ritu, thank you.
You're most welcome. Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone. And good luck to these poor people caught in fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Dr. Ritu Gupta there answering all your skin concerns. It's just gone 2:30 here on 702 ABC Afternoons.